Hi everyone. Thank you for joining us. It's good to see you all here on the third Thursday of September. This is September 15th, 2022. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and this is our third Thursday World Peace Diet Zoom gathering for the World Peace Diet facilitators, and just us. No outside extraneous people allowed. So it's great to see your beautiful faces. Those of you who have your faces showing, and you certainly don't need to. We're just very casual here. You can be just listening if you'd like. Some people are calling in by phone. A lot of people actually listen to this whole recording later. So welcome to you folks who are listening later. So I'm going to go ahead and I think just get started. We do have a special guest. Our good friend Kathy Christian is here with us, and she'll be speaking a little bit about the work she's been doing for the last 4 or 5 years. And usually we like to have a meditation at the beginning. So I think I'll go ahead and start with that so we can just jump right in to our sacred time. So it's great to see you all. Thanks again for joining us. I'm sitting here at the piano. We're at home in Northern California, so I can accompany myself with the piano for the meditation. Feel free to, it's probably good if you mute your microphone, and however you'd like to do it on the camera is fine. So we can begin with our meditation time, and then I'll introduce Kathy Christian, and then we can have a discussion. And then any questions you may have, feel free to write them in on the chat or any comments, or you can just press *6 at any point to unmute or to ask to be unmuted. So that's great. So here we go. And thank you, Lisa, for helping out here with everything. Become aware of our breathing. Abiding in our breath. With every exhalation, we let go. Into this present moment. Giving thanks for this precious opportunity we have right now to come together in consciousness, in the spirit of loving kindness, of ahimsa, of harmony and peace, of respect for all expressions of life. Just breathing into our heart. And we see our heart now as a radiating beacon of light. And as we exhale with every breath, every exhalation, you radiate loving kindness in every direction, filling the whole world with the truth of the omnipresence of the infinite love that is the source of all life shining through us. With every breath radiating now compassion from our heart, seeing our heart as a bright shining light, may all beings be free from suffering and all the causes of suffering. Breathing and radiating compassion giving thanks for this precious opportunity of our human life to be an instrument of compassion, of loving kindness, kindness and caring, feeling our connection with each other, with everyone who's working to help to unfold a more harmonious world. From the past, present, and future, there is one heart that we all live within, the Great Heart. And so with our heart now we radiate into every dimension and direction, the light of joy. We see our heart as a beacon of joy, the joy of being, the great joy that needs no outer reasons, the joy of our true nature, the joy of being an expression of beauty and life. Abiding in this joy and radiating the truth of joy in every direction. May all beings connect with the truth of their true nature, of abundance, creativity, freedom, and finally we open to the great peace that fills our heart right now. Abiding in peace and harmony. Remembering that what we are is not a material thing. That what we are was never born. We are the infinite eternal consciousness that makes this possible. As is every expression that we see around us. So we look beyond the outer forms and we are at peace, knowing that we are all on the journey of awakening and healing, of contributing and giving, of learning and growing. Abiding in our true home of peace and seeing this peace radiating from our heart as an ever-expanding sphere of light, filling every cell in our being with peace and harmony, joy and abundance, freedom and creativity, wisdom and truth, and from there radiating out and filling the whole earth and all living beings as expressions, seeing our beautiful earth bathed in the light of peace and harmony, giving thanks. For this day, for this life, and for all that abides beyond this life. So as we close our meditation, we give thanks, knowing that we are every day connecting more deeply with our inner wisdom, with the truth of our being, and allowing this to flow through us for the benefit of all living beings. We give thanks especially for all of the beings we refer to as animals, celebrating their lives here on this beautiful earth. May all the animals be free from human interference and exploitation. May we all continue to co-create a world that cares for everyone and that reflects the truth of the original nature that we all share. So we give thanks knowing that we are part of the awakening and part of the healing that humanity is going through right now. And we see a vegan world, a world of ahimsa, emerging into view right around the corner as we awaken to the truth that we are blessed with physical bodies that require no animal to suffer, to celebrate our lives here. And as humanity realizes this great truth, we are free from many centuries of delusion and violence and open to the freedom and beauty of our life and of all life. And so we give thanks knowing that after our call today, we will go forth and help to multiply this message through every thought, word, and deed. May all beings be happy and at peace. May all beings be free through the power and presence of the Infinite Spirit of truth and love. We give thanks, knowing this is so, and so it is. Bless you all. Thanks again for taking time out of what I know are very busy schedules. We all have a lot going on. And taking time to gather like this, I think, is food for the spirit and really food for our purpose on this earth to help bring the higher vibration and awareness of compassion and liberation of animals into reality. So, as I said earlier, we're really blessed to have Kathy Christian with us, who we met about a year ago, almost a year ago, at Unity Village in just outside Kansas City, Missouri. And we had already met her online before that. And it's just wonderful to see the work that you are doing, Kathy. I really, you know, just want to thank you for the huge amount of effort that you put into the online. I think it's mainly online work. So Kathy lives in Little Rock, Arkansas. When Madeline and I lived on the road in our RV, there was no city in the United States that we didn't go to and try to bring a subversive message somehow. And we've been through Little Rock many times and given talks there, and have lots of great memories of Little Rock. And the last time we were there was a lecture that was put on by a woman who was affiliated with a local hospital. And she was really risking a lot because this was about 2018 maybe, and she was a vegan, and she wanted to bring the vegan message more into the hospital setting, and of course they didn't like that and they were pushing back pretty hard against her. So our society has been unfortunately in many ways under the spell of animal agriculture and the medical and pharmaceutical industries, and some of the other big industries don't want to see that ending anytime soon. And Kathy is one of the people that just constantly sends out helpful information. So I really want to encourage everyone to find out more about her work. And really, I think if you can get on her mailing list, if that's possible, like I've been on your mailing list, Kathy, now for over, probably a year and a half. And I really love it because you have so many excellent resources that you just send out free of charge. I mean, it's a tremendous service. So, Kathy, can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your project and what you're doing, and maybe a little bit about how you went vegan also would be interesting to hear.
Yeah, I got really sick with lupus in my mid-40s and was on all sorts of prescription drugs and allergy shots and just depressed and felt miserable all the time. And I've been I'm retired now, but for 40 years I was an IT consultant and database creator and consultant and project manager and just all sorts of things where I really had to be sharp and alert about what I was doing, and it was getting tougher and tougher. But I met someone who was a health minister for the Reverend George Mountmas with the Hallelujah Diet.
Oh, that's great.
Man.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Right. Raw fruits, vegetables, seeds, and nuts predominantly. And within the first 90 days, after some heavy carrot juicing with a little bit of beet and a little bit of Fuji apple, I no longer tested positive for anti-nuclear antibodies. I went cold turkey off of all of my meds and my allergy shots. 97.
Wow.
That was back in 97. And so
wow.
I am a believer. And I think as the year 2000 started rolling along, I got connected with some libertarians. And by the time 2008 came along, Ron Paul was running for president, and I became the Central Arkansas Ron Paul for President meetup group coordinator, and just became more and more solid about my beliefs and what was right and what wasn't. And my mother, meanwhile, was going downhill, approaching. She died at 91 in 2019. But she kept falling and breaking things, and she was going to the University of Arkansas Geriatric Department Med Center. And so I got on the Patient and Family Advisory Council, and of course I wasn't big on drugs and the boost and the crap that they were feeding, you know, telling her to take. But I realized she was on her way out, and that was her decision, and she wasn't, I mean, she would... Anyway, I didn't argue, but as a volunteer there, they said that I needed to have a flu shot every year. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'll quit then. And they gave me, I didn't even ask for it, but they gave me a religious exemption. And so for several years, I served at the hospital as a religious objector to the flu shot. And then I was in at Ottenheimer Fitness Center, going to several classes a week, strength, balance, and coordination, and Tai Chi, and meditation, different things. And we had a bicycle book club, and the leader of the hospital, I mean of the fitness center, she read the brain doctor's
Sherzai.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. And she became convinced, and she said, you've been trying to tell me all this time, and I just couldn't hear it. But she said, I really appreciate, you know, your being a witness for this. And so we started the book and bike club there at the Ottenheimer Fitness Center, and we would ride the stationary bicycles, and having read the chapter during the week, we would talk about that and discuss it. Well, then we decided we needed something to reach the people that were interested and a little more, and we decided, well, one meeting a month of the Plant Strong Club would be good, and we'll have special speakers. And we met for a while at a library and then at National Natural Grocers. And I had the mailing list. I'm the computer person, so I did the website, and I had the mailing list. And when all this COVID business came along, they changed the rules at Ottenheimer Fitness Center where you had to be tested when you came, temperature taken when you came in the door, and then you had to be wearing a mask. And then when the vaccines came along, you know, you had to have them. And I just said, no, I'm not going there, and I don't want to be around a bunch of people that are giving into it so easily. And so I turned the email list over to them, and they have been meeting on Zoom, and they're doing great. They're, for what they're doing and how they feel about it, you know, that's fine, and I wish them the best. But I started introducing the hot potatoes on the website, theplantstrongclub.org, and I don't advertise. I don't take advertising. I don't promoted any place. It's just as God leads, as whatever happens. And I spend a lot of time just researching, and Will, I first discovered you on The Real Truth About Health. That is one fantastic resource. And,
right.
I was so grateful for that. And then when I found out about the workshop last year, I thought, well, maybe it's time to do that. And because I knew about animal cruelty. I'd seen Cowspiracy and some others, and I knew, but I wasn't quite on board with all of that. And so I got the audio version of your book, and I listened to it on the way up there and back and forth to meetings and all. And I can remember thinking, oh, I wish I had this in more bite-sized pieces, you know, that I could digest all of this. And then I found out about your Veg Inspirations, and those are wonderful, the daily emails that just have bite-sized chunks that are so rich and so helpful. And so then I of course, started posting them on the website, and I do a new one each Monday morning with whatever you send me Monday morning, and then as each day goes by, I add the rest of the week's Veg Inspirations to that particular page, and then I move on to a new one the next Monday. So I think I have a little over 800 followers, and I don't know most of them. I know you, but I'm not sure. My family, my friends, I see any of the names of the other people that used to be on there, but, you know, they quit. I'm a conscientious objector and anti-vaxxer and all of that. So that's okay. That's okay. But at least I have found something that I can do that is helpful, hopefully, to at least some people, and that I feel good about. And so I am still I going into Whole Foods about 3 weeks ago. I ran into a woman that I went to church with in the 1980s, and had not seen her in all those years. And so we struck up a conversation, and it turned out her husband is in like fourth stage cancer, and we're just really having a rough time. And so I told her what I was doing, and it turned out she had been turned on to Chris Wark, and so she was doing some of his recommendations and had 2 big cups of fresh carrot juice. And
Great.
And so she called me back the other day and said, can you come meet with me at Whole Foods? We'll sit at the tables, because she's trying to protect herself, especially for her husband's sake, and I certainly respect that. So we did, and I just gave her all sorts of resources. And I want your opinion on this, or anybody else's. I feel like hyper-nourishing for people that are in critical situations is definitely called for. And it seems like to me that Brooke Goldner is the easiest one to get connected, and she's got, and I'm relatively new at referring people to people, so I'm open for suggestions. But I referred her to Brooke, and I said, at least go through the initial consultation and see what she says about Tom's condition and what she would recommend.
Right. So I just wrote down, I think I got it right on the chat, www.plantstrongclub.org. Is that right?
The plantstrongclub.org.
All right, add the.
Theplantstrongclub.org.
I really recommend it. You go far beyond the call of duty in just bringing so many resources about veganism, about health, about freedom. I mean, it's just really very enlightening. So I wanted to thank you for that. And as far as your question goes, I think, you know, if anybody else has any ideas, but that's kind of an open, big question. If someone is really, because you got into this for the health, right? It was all about health for you. You had lupus and then you juiced and carrot beet juice with a little apple juice and that's fantastic. I mean, cleansing. We just gave a lecture 2 nights ago locally right here where we live at a place called Harbin Hot Springs. And on the World Peace Diet, and it was the same thing. People said, well, what do I do to be, mm-hmm. if I want to clean out, I've been eating all these bad foods for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
And I kind of said the same thing. You know, fasting is great, just water only. I mean, but it's pretty intense. And another thing that's not quite as intense is what you did, which is to have fresh squeezed vegetables and a little bit of fruit, especially vegetables like, you know, carrots and beets, apples, and you know, one thing you can mention besides Brooke Goldner, MD, who's a vegan doctor, there's quite a few other ones, of course, Michael Clapper. We like John McDougall quite a bit. The starch solution. I think also, of course, we go for 2 months every year to Hippocrates Health Institute, which is in South Florida.
Yes.
That's Dr. Brian Clement. And they make a green juice that everybody drinks a lot. Like they have it all the time. They deliver it to your room, and it's just, you're just drinking this green juice.
Good.
And they make it, and it's basically four things. What they do is they juice celery, cucumber, and sunflower sprouts and pea shoots. Those four things they juice, and they found over the years, I guess, that that's a magic combination. And people come, we see it all the time. People come in there with cancer, with all kinds of really like serious arthritis, obesity, diabetes, all kinds of things from all over the country, all over the world, really. Especially before COVID, more than half it was the Europeans. And they in 3 weeks, they have what they call the three-week program. You can stay longer or shorter, but the three-week is kind of the magic length. And it's just great to see people getting off their medication, like you said, getting off their medications of cancer. Or
it's a miracle. And 25, 26 years later, still free of them.
Right.
And I skated on the edges, I confess, for a long time. I was using organic cigarettes and organic wine to mitigate for a lot of broken hearts and issues.
Right.
And I am finally glad to say I had to go through a really dark night of the soul, but I am, as of May 26, 3 years free of weed and wine and 6 years free of cigarettes. And so I finally made it, but it was not easy. But if I had not have been on that diet, there's no way I would have survived drinking as much as I was. So,
that's very interesting. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. So I think as you cleanse your food and you bring your body back into harmony, there still can be deep emotional wounds and habits that go back decades. But that foundation of a really great high quality food creates the opportunity, and I think the possibility, because you start to feel, I don't want to put toxins in my body. I mean, you get more cleaned out, and the more clean you get, the more clean you want to be, in a sense.
Right.
That's what I found. I've been doing this for 40, but I remember, we used to, 20 years ago, I would eat things I would never eat now, really. I mean. Of course, it's just, we've gotten to the point where we just, like, it's organic whole foods, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now it's worse in terms of there's so many pesticides now. You just got to draw the line, I think, now more rigorously, because we're being bombarded with more toxins than ever, too.
Yes.
So,
well, I don't even want to eat anything that reminds me. I don't want to eat fake cheese or fake meat or fake. I said my mind just flashes back to those documentaries at your workshop of all of the cattle hanging and the slit throats and the blood and, I mean, just the rape racks for the dairy cows. And I said, I had PTSD after that workshop up until about 2 or 3 months ago. And I was visiting a Unity church here in Little Rock thinking, maybe they would be open to it or interested. And one Sunday after the message, they had a guest pastor, and I walked through the kitchen, and here was a ham and a brisket and macaroni and cheese. And I said, I'm out of here. And I didn't go for the next 3 weeks. And they finally checked on me to see what the deal was. And I said, I can't be around it. I cannot. It makes me emotionally ill to see, and especially when I know about Myrtle and Charles Fillmore and their feelings on it. And I went to Unity Church in Dallas and St. Louis in the 70s. And I can remember going to some workshops, and I think they had some healthy, pretty healthy food, but I don't remember anyone ever teaching about it or saying you really want to do this more often. But anyway, right. I was going to say Hippocrates was number two that I told her after Brooke Goldner.
Oh, good. Uh-huh.
And then what about True North? What are your feelings on that? That's where they do the water fasting.
Yeah, it's a little more intense in a certain way, I think.
Okay.
Both. I mean, it's less expensive to go to True North. It's
okay.
Just water fasting, you know, so you're just basically, they're only paying for water.
Right. Well, they're monitoring them, too.
I'm kidding. But, I mean, they do, you know, get you to, you know, start the fast properly and to come off the fast properly and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of monitor your everything. A lot of people can fast just on their own with a book. But, I think it's a good idea to have that kind of community support.
Yeah.
So we've known quite a few people that have gone to True North and have had really good results.
Experiences.
Yeah, and same thing with Hippocrates. You know, they're both. Hippocrates is, you know, it's a whole different thing. I mean, True North is in Santa Rosa. It's in town. It's a little more just fasting with water. You go, and Hippocrates is this spectacular 60-acre, beautiful place
nice.
With great food. I mean, it's all sprouts and things. It's all living food, but.
Wow.
It's really delicious. It's very, very, very tasty, actually, the way they do it. It's really good. So, and a lot of exercise. I mean, they really get everybody running around, moving, doing yoga and rebounding and weightlifting and everything. So it's a very holistic approach, and they talk a lot
about that. That is something that I've been telling everybody.
I
said equally important as the nutrition is stress mitigation. And if you don't have the stress mitigation and your spiritual aspects, and we've had guests from the Blue Zones Project to speak to us, you know, on Zoom and all, but I said there is, because this one woman that I just met day before yesterday, telling me that she just got over long COVID, which I had never heard of, and she had 11 visits to the hospital over the period of a year and was having lost a lot of weight and was just in horrible condition. And she said that she was a vegan and mainly raw food, and said she tried fruitarianism for a while, and I just said, this does not compute. And I said, were you under a lot of stress? And she said, oh yeah, going through a divorce and just a lot of other things. And I said, well, I'd like to see a journal or a diary to see exactly a food diary, you know, exactly what your intake was. And cause you don't know, you know, when people say, oh, I was vegan and it didn't work and I don't believe in that and I need my meat and all that. Anyway, I don't like to argue with people, but
I
will if I can, respectfully.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's really important to at least present the perspective that there's no nutrients in animal-based foods that don't come from plants. So
exactly.
You don't really need to get it from an animal. So it's like, what's actually going on? But it's also good to emphasize that food is not 100% the cause of health or disease. There's many other factors.
No.
And so food is a big, you know, big part of it, because our body is a biochemical kind of thing. So if you're putting in toxins, it's really going to make it a lot harder. But it's exercise and stress and creativity and purpose and relationships and all these other things. And Brian Clement at Hippocrates says the three most important things are your food, your exercise, and your mental attitude. And the mental attitude is three times more important than the other two.
And he's
dealt with literally.
Everything.
Probably 40,000 or 50,000 people. I mean, he's really been doing this a long time, and he says it's the attitude is the most important thing, and like you're saying, stress and other things, and I think also really quite honestly nowadays being very careful about medications, because. I've done a lot of research on the medications, and they are toxic. And so this friend of yours who had long COVID, I mean, there's quite a bit of evidence that that's actually a vaccine reaction. You know, it's just a vaccine reaction. Right. If she had the vaccine, then probably a reaction to that. But anyway, it's really great to, so the plantstrongclub.org, I guess,
and if anyone wants to just check it out, KathyChristian.com has more woo-woo and, of this. I had it many years before going, before this Plant Strong Club ever came along, but I put more of my anti-vaxxer and political, posts and spiritual over there. So that, if you just want to check, I mean,
right.
But the Plant Strong Club is I don't know. I like both of them.
The Plant Strong Club, and you have a place to sign up there, right? So
people can
join. So yeah. I highly recommend that. Does anyone want to chime in here, have a question or a comment or anything at all for Kathy or anything that she's doing? It's one of those things, if you haven't experienced it like I have, you don't know how wonderful it really is. I mean, she just delivers a lot of information. I know we're all probably under a little bit of information overload, The good thing is that what she sends out is really very great. You're a great curator. I think you sift through
and then you send out the
very best of the best, which can be very helpful.
Wow. Thank you.
To do, because that's really an important thing right now, that we are being bombarded with, I think, a lot of just misinformation, you know. And
yes.
As vegans, we knew that, right? We saw all these doctors saying that you're not going to be healthy if you don't eat cheese, or you're not going to be healthy if you don't have some meat in your diet, and you got to have some fish, you know. And especially, you know, I know people, even Madeline actually, but way a long time ago, she got a raw foodist, and then for a little while she was this Oriental. Sometimes they're the worst in a way. The alternative, you know, the alternative.
Uh-huh.
You know, they say, oh, you've got to have some fish for the yang energy.
Omega-3.
You know, or something like that. Or the other thing is your blood type. You know, you've got this, you've got type O blood. You know, you've got to have a little meat, because that's really what blood type O people need. I mean, there's so many alternative people, naturopaths that are into those things, where the mainstream doctors know it's a bunch of baloney. But it's so funny how the naturopaths are so gullible about these kind of things, because it brings in people and make money. I mean, people,
exactly,
I'm blood type O, I got to eat meat. You know, it's just how it is. You know, not my fault. You know, leave me alone. So it's very important.
Get good information. Will?
Yes.
This is Lily.
Oh,
I just wondered about the person who was, who had long-term COVID. Had this person been vaccinated? I just wondered about that.
That is a good question, and I failed to ask her that, but I will find out. Her son has Down syndrome, and I think he's about 15 or 16, and I suspect that both of them have been, but I will find out for sure.
Yeah, that's, not.
I've heard about this happening over and over again to people who have been vaccinated, and I opted not to be vaccinated.
Good.
I'm taking care of my 97-year-old husband, and I can't afford
COVID.
Your 97-year-old vegan husband.
Vegan.
Yeah, he became vegan at 81.
Wow.
So it's never too late. He became vegan at 81. Been vegan ever since. He's eating all the meals. I'm preparing a beautiful vegan meal for him right now. He's eating beautifully. And sometimes he chokes, but that's if he eats too fast, and I monitor that. And he loves, we haven't had to have pureed food or anything for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
that's wonderful.
He's been a vegan now. All these years, 15 years. Vegan now.
Wow.
He's a really interesting guy.
Because of the world peace diet.
Yeah, we've met her husband, Jim Macy. He's just a wonderful person. He's a doctor of ophthalmologist, but he was really good friends with some amazing people like Alan Watts, and if you know of his work, and Anais Nin and Ruth Dennison, you know, some of the great Buddhist and teachers, really, But they hadn't quite made the connection to veganism. So it's so great to, Lily,
well,
for
years.
They
weren't even on the path to veganism. That's the thing about that.
Right.
None of them were. Yeah. Ruth more than anybody else.
Yeah. No, yeah, Lily had you had a world peace diet reading that went, for quite a few years, actually.
Almost 5 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
I read the world peace diet to anybody who would listen, and I may start that again, but things have changed because taking care of my husband, before I have to feed him, I have to wash him, I have to change him, I have to do everything with him, plus everything else. And we live off the grid. So, I'm doing pretty well. I'm really tired these days. What do you think, Will? Do you ever go get a checkup? I know you don't go for doctors, but.
Never.
Right
no,
now
no, no.
I, feel
I would
tired.
Never.
You never go for, yeah, okay.
Absolutely never, for sure. I don't. I wouldn't do it. I mean, but it's good to, to talk to someone, who's perhaps knowledgeable, a vegan, who would be someone, but there are vegan coaches, vegan doctors who you can do a phone consultation with them and just, find out just what you're eating. Perhaps you could fine tune it a little bit.
That's Brooke Goldner.
Dr. Brooke Goldner, for example. Lily doesn't have the internet at all. I mean, it's really great. She's just.
Well, I know. A lot of people were telling me not to have it, including Will.
Stay away from it.
It's okay. I can get it if I, if I absolutely feel I have to have it, I'll get it.
Yeah,
I live so far away from civilization that.
Wow.
I don't know what I'm doing here, but it's okay,
I'm an information junkie, I confess.
That's an option. Yeah. Great. Any other questions or comments anyone has about what we've been talking about? It's really been very interesting.
I have a comment.
Yes, go ahead.
I have two comments, one for Kathy, one for what you just mentioned, Will. Kathy, I love what you mentioned about how just vegan, just the diet is not totally not enough, and the emotional component is so critical. For myself, I went through a personal experience seeing my late fiance, who was a vegan and very seemingly on the outside, very healthy and loving and attitude-wise is also very positive. However, he had difficulty releasing his resentment to his ex. Ugly divorce, many, many years ago. And that really, I believe was a big part that, that got him to have the heart disease, which the heart attack, took him eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I feel that was awakening for me to see how no, not just vegan is enough.
No,
not just the diet.
No.
It's we not just vegans. Everybody so neglects the emotional impact that we have, and it's very unconscious. And so you're so right on about that. And
well, may I say too that in around 2000 or shortly thereafter, I was turned on to Power Versus Force by a chiropractor I was going to, Dr. David Hawkins, and his scale of levels of consciousness, 200 and below was victim, and then you start rising up, and it wasn't until you got to the 500s that you got fifth. Okay, I'm getting all mixed up, but I think of it as the fifth dimension, but the 500s to the love, and then Christ consciousness was 1,000 or up in there. But I said all that to say this, my chiropractor, I would take in bags of my supplements and foods and different things that I was eating. And he would, using applied kinesiology, he would test every one of them on me. And if they didn't make an 8 out of 10, then they were out. I did not take them anymore, except for alcohol and cigarettes. But I will, have you ever heard of that or... You
well,
like,
pendulum
or
applied kinesiology is like muscle testing, and chiropractors use it all the time to see what's good for you and what's not good for you, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting because many years ago, I went to when Madeline and I were living in our RV mm-hmm. on our tour, we booked. At every single Sunday, a Unity Church somewhere. And this is probably around 2004 or 5 or somewhere in there. We, on our tour, we went to Unity Village headquarters, in Unity Village.
Yeah.
And I was booked to provide the Sunday morning special music. And what was so interesting was I was there on Sunday morning, and the guest speaker that day that came in to do the talk was David Hawkins himself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was there. And so I got to meet him, and we hit it off. He's a very interesting guy. I mean, he's very kind of high-powered old guy. He was kind of an old guy at that point. He was probably 80 or I don't know what, but he was still like kind of electric. But the thing that was kind of interesting, it was just that I played the piano for the whole congregation. That was when Unity was booming. It was probably 600 or 700 people in that thing. It was this full.
Yeah.
And I played. They have a nice grand piano. And he just said that he had never in his life heard music at such a high level. He said, that's 800. He said, there's never been any music played by any human being.
That is awesome.
He did muscle testing. He said, the highest I've ever seen is like 700. You've just broke the record. You got 800. And I thought, well, I don't know what I did.
Oh, that is awesome.
he was like, he wanted me to come, and he wanted me to tour with him and go around and bring my music on his lectures and all this stuff. And
that's awesome.
I didn't want to do it because he wasn't vegan. That was the weird thing.
I know.
I went to one of his workshops. He says all these great things, but you're still not promoting veganism, and I just feel like the most important thing. So I'm not going to go around and vote somebody who isn't promoting veganism. So Madeline,
I understand that. I totally agree. I went to a workshop of his in Sedona, and his wife, I can remember when we were going through the lines for lunch, when we broke for that, and him leaning over to her, Susan, I think is her name, and just saying, I bet they're wondering whether or not this is, what's the deal with this not being totally vegan. He said something else about it, and I never did understand that. And Abraham Hicks has said that too, you probably have heard some of that, but said that the animals came forth willingly or something like that.
It's really disturbing to me because some of these really very popular spiritual gurus, the very highest ones like Abraham Hicks, also the Course in Miracles too. Study that thing. There's not one tiny inkling really in the whole thing that one should go vegan. I mean, it's all about your consciousness and you're eternal and you're immortal and you create your reality through your mind and consciousness and but there's nothing. And so it's difficult because so many people really go deeply into spirituality and study these things and have groups and there's nothing, there's no support for that at all. And so when I come along and those of us who are vegans and trying to bring the spiritual dimension, they think, well, I would have heard about it by now if it had been so important. They would have talked about it. Wouldn't they have talked about it? But I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't have been so popular if they had talked about it. That's one of the funny things.
That's true.
You know.
And what was is it Dr. Milton or Dr. Mills? I can't remember.
Dr. Milton Mills. Yeah, Mills.
Milton Mills. Thank you.
Right. Yeah.
He has a real good YouTube that I posted on my site that discussed what did the Bible say about this and that. And but I usually ask. I say, well, the best thing I know of that I can do for you or for anybody else is to continue to work on myself and raise my own level of consciousness. And I can't do that eating dead food. And I was doing some yoga classes at the Ecumenical Buddhist Society, walked in one day, and there in the lobby they were gathering for some prisoners, snacks for prisoners or something, Oreos and Kool-Aid. And they said, well, it's vegan. And I said, oh, no, that doesn't matter. That does not count. If I had to, you know, check the nutritional value of something like that, it'd be zero, and shame on you, and I don't know.
Right. Well, that's true, because a lot of people say, well, I'm eating vegan, so I should be healthy. And you say, well, okay, you're eating vegan, but like, what are you actually eating?
Exactly.
There's a lot.
Exactly.
It's really, you can eat a horribly unhealthy diet and still be a vegan.
Yeah.
A lot of people do. A lot of vegans really do, especially young vegans who go vegan because of animals. And they just think, well, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm young and I'm healthy. And really, it's sad to say, but I think they really harm themselves quite a bit because these foods are more toxic than people realize. And they have a lot of chemicals in them.
Yeah.
And these companies, they make money on sick people. They don't make money on healthy people. And I think we have to really get a little more savvy about the whole situation. And just not allow ourselves to eat that stuff. Don't even buy it.
Exactly.
The best thing is don't buy it.
Don't
have it in the house.
Stay away from
you know.
And Lisa, I'm sorry I interrupted you. I got off track. But
oh no.
Yeah, Lisa, we only got through half of your thing. You still got another half.
Sorry about that. I just got carried away.
No, it's good conversation. Yeah, the other point I wanted to also confirm with what Dr. Tuttle point out is with the alternative medical professionals, which I am one, as I'm a vegan acupuncturist, but my fellow acupuncture or Chinese medicine docs, you know, even my teachers in Chinese medical school actually asked me to, at the time I was vegetarian when I was studying Chinese medicine, but my teacher was the one to tell me, don't give up eggs and milk.
Oh, no.
That's like, but for me, I finally understand, after I became vegan, finally understand that why Chinese medicine, docs, promote still the animal proteins and things. One is for the young, like Dr. Tuttle say, you know, the Chinese is about all the increasing the yang energy. But the other thing is it's more cultural based. I think me was born in China and during the Cultural Revolution, it's just a history of Chinese going through hard times. Meat is considered luxury food. And so, eggs and milk are in ration. I remember my dad, raised chickens because the food rationing was not enough to feed me to animal protein. So he made sure I have chicken eggs so that he raised chickens so that I have animal protein because in the Chinese mindset is still because of the poverty, the luxury food, because consider at the time was very rare, and you know, so having animal protein is a blessing. So that is really much ingrained in all the Chinese doctors, even, and they don't really pay attention or really look into consider, you know, the pollution and all the food industry, the animal cruelty.
Right.
I think they are not aware of them. They just hold on to the old mindset about animal protein being a higher grade food in China, and they come here and they practice the same medicine the same way, and they just totally, yeah, got
that's
it wrong.
Actually, and you know, that's kind of universal, I've noticed, in cultures mm-hmm. where they're less industrialized, basically. It's very difficult. Only the wealthy elite actually can eat meat, dairy, and eggs, usually. And the less wealthy people, they would love to make enough money so they could treat their family to some animal flesh or to some cheese or something like that. And it's just very expensive because it should be. I mean, it takes a lot more energy and, you know, so forth. Mm-hmm. But this has been one of the hardest things for our vegan movement to overcome, has been basically the dream of everyone in Africa, and a lot of them in Asia, to eat like Americans. You know, that'd be so great when we're wealthy enough to eat just like Americans. I can have a Big Mac, and I just love to do that, you know. And I remember going to Asia, you know, quite a few times and doing lectures, tours there. And that's one of the hardest things because the families, like, for example, in Thailand, it's very similar. And the people give the best thing they have to the monks, right? When the monks go around begging for food, they actually beg. Still, they walk around with their bowls. And so it's just considered, well, it wouldn't be good to just give them some rice and vegetables. If I give them some meat, then I'm really helping the monk. I'm being really generous to the monk. And these dang monks, you know, they love it. They're like royalty, and they just eat it, you know, and you can't say anything against it. You know, I mean, we were in Thailand, and it was like against the law almost to criticize a monk. It is against the law to criticize the king. You go right to jail. You say anything bad about the king. But the monks, too, I mean, it's like you better not say anything against the monks. And so it's very difficult to even bring it up because it's just considered something that is wealthy. It's also Western, and Western culture mm-hmm. is still somewhat emulated in many of these societies. In fact, in Vietnam, we could really talk about giving up meat, but they had a government regulation that it was a criminal act to say anything against dairy. You couldn't do it. Because the dairy industry had gotten in there to Vietnam after the war and was promoting dairy to help the people get bigger. You know, everybody wants to get big. And that's what happened in Japan. You know, it was so interesting because after the war, World War II, you know, dairy went into Japan and all the Japanese got a lot bigger because there's all this growth hormone in dairy. And now the Chinese, it's the same thing. They didn't mind, when I was in China, they didn't mind, I mean, I promoted veganism, but I knew the government doesn't like it if you question dairy because they want to get big like the Japanese, you know, so they're really promoting dairy consumption in China so they can be bigger. You know, hopefully they figure out they're also going to have a much more diabetes and a whole slew of diseases. It's terrible. I mean, it's the worst thing. The three things that people think are good, right, is, well, I gave up meat. I'm just eating a little fish and eggs and dairy. Like, those are the worst foods for your health, I think, probably, because they just concentrate so many toxins. And so it's a very difficult situation, though, for us to work against. And luckily, they have, in a lot of these countries, there is the Buddhists. If you're in China, you're a vegetarian or a vegan, it's because you're a Buddhist. That's how it is in many of these Asian countries, mm-hmm. Korea and Taiwan, also Vietnam. But so that's helpful. But I think more and more, the best thing we can do as Americans, for example, is to go vegan because that sends a message that veganism is what the people are doing now. So we can actually move in that direction. Yeah.
Do you agree that Forks Over Knives is one of the best documentaries? That's got T. Colin Campbell's China Study. Is it T. Colin Campbell or another one? I think
the China Study. Yeah, right. No, yeah. Him and Caldwell Esselstyn and study and McDougall, you know, these are Michael Clapper. I mean, they're all doing great work, I think, for the diet.
Too.
Yeah.
And the Game Changers, I recommend that too. So.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, there's. I just heard Susan Daughtry. Are you here, Susan? I think the there's Kip Anderson is just releasing. Just releasing his third in the trilogy. You know, Kip Anderson did the movie Cowspiracy, and then he did What the Hell.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just interesting, you know, I mean, because I met Kip before he did any movies. You know, he came to one of my World Peace Diet trainings way back, I don't know when, in 2007 or 8, something like that. And so he's a World Peace Diet facilitator. He went through the training, and then he told me he wanted to make a film about the World Peace Diet. And so he did. He worked on it, and then he called me and he said he's going to do Cowspiracy. And I said, great. And he wanted to know about the title. We talked about it quite a bit. And then he interviewed me for that one, and then he did the next part of the World Peace Diet was What the Health, because he wanted to get to the health part. And now the third one is called, as I understand it now, Christspiracy, which is about the spiritual dimension. And he interviewed me when we were going through Phoenix for that, but it was so long ago. It was before COVID. It was back in 2018 or 19, I guess he was working on that. And he sent me an email that I was going to be in it, but then I never heard again. So I'm not sure if I'm even in the film or not. Because, you know, in these video, in these documentaries, they take so much footage and they use about 1% of it. Because they get a huge amount. And it looks like from the trailer that it's a really very action-packed, high-impact kind of a film. It looks really good, but I don't really know what it's about. I'm curious. So Susan lives in Hawaii, and you're going to go to the they're having a special sneak preview or something next week.
Oh, good.
Sneak preview on this coming Friday, the 23rd.
Great.
It just says it's going to change our mind about Christ and what it's like to be a Christian. And I know, you know, I was exposed to that idea from the World Peace Diet, so we'll see.
Yeah, I really don't know. What are you going to do? Good. All right. Well, great. So let's see how we're doing. Yeah, we have a little more time. Does anyone else have any questions or comments, either for Kathy, or we can just go in a whole different direction? I mean, whatever anybody wants to talk about. We have a little time left, and thank you so much, Kathy. And is there anything you
thank
want to say
you.
In closing? Yeah, I mean, I should, you know, we went a little longer, but you're one of us, so.
Well, thank you. No,
great to have you.
I appreciate your doing so. I didn't really think I had anything to offer after I see all these wonderful people that you have every month, and I'm just like, oh, what am I going to say? But thank you. This has been a very easy thing and comfortable thing, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate the group here. So, and good to see you, Judy. How are you?
Judy Carmen.
Yeah.
Good to see you too, Kathy. Yeah. We don't live that far apart.
We need to get together anytime you can come this way. I've got three cats and I'm not quite sure what to do with them when I travel. I had someone spend the night here when I went to Unity for Will's workshop, but I guess I can do it again, but you can come here too.
Yeah.
Judy, do you have any news about anything? I know you're getting involved with, a few different things, but,
Well, I just wanted to remind everybody about the Unity Village retreat that's going to be the last weekend in October.
Yeah.
And you can find it on thespiritualforum.org and then /retreat. And that'll tell you all about it. So, and Unity Village is close to Kansas City. And a big part of this is, going to be talking to Unity ministers and everyone else who comes about the Fillmore's original intent, which was basically ethical veganism, but the word vegan has not been invented yet. Mm-hmm. And we think there's some indication that they may have had chickens, but it's hard to know, but they refused to have leather bound Bibles, So the Bibles were bound in a you know, back in the
kind of like a, yeah, primitive plastic. Naga hide kind of stuff.
Before plastic, yeah.
Before plastic, right.
And one of their main declarations, I guess you could call it, was to not eat flesh, because we cannot have peace on earth as long as we are eating animals and committing violence. But that, after they died, Myrtle and Charles died, that was simply removed. Like, it didn't matter. It's gone. But I think that these retreats, this will be the second one, are going to help turn things back around. And I was at the Unity Convention in June, which also takes place in Kansas City, and Silas Rao presented a talk there and got a lot of attention about veganism from the ministers that were there. It's a convention for ministers. And these are ministers like you all were talking about, who are teaching spiritual, you know, how to grow spiritually, and totally ignoring the violence that people commit against animals. And so how can we grow spiritually if we're committing that kind of violence?
Yeah.
So there's that. And then so look that up, and please come if you can. It'll be great. And Will is going to present remotely, right, Will?
Yeah, yeah. I'll be doing a presentation, I think it's on Saturday. And I think you are also, Judy, right?
Right,
the presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll not be driving this time. Last year we drove all the way out there.
Yeah, it's a heck of a drive.
And Deborah came. Deborah Kaplan was there, I know, and Kathy, you were there, and Unity,
it was great. But you can attend remotely, as I understand it.
Yeah, this year they're doing the whole remote thing. So
if you can't make it physically, try to come remotely. And then we're getting geared up for the Parliament of World Religions also, trying to get as many vegans as possible to propose a talk, a vegan talk. And the deadline
is October 3rd. Are they having talks, or is it more like a panel?
Yes. They're not accepting proposals for individuals talking unless you're giving a workshop. You can do that as an individual, but it has to be interactive. Or if you want to do a panel with several other people, or you can have an art display. You can propose to have an art display, which we're going to bring some things like that. You can have a ceremony, and we've got two of those in the works to propose, two ceremonies, celebration of animals type ceremonies. So
that's going to be in Chicago. That's in Chicago in August, right?
Right, next August, 2023. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Will.
Great. So,
Susan Craig has her hand up.
Yes, Susan, you have your hand up.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you. Thanks for your presentation, Kathy, and thanks, Will, always for just these gatherings. I have a comment and maybe some feedback if you have any. I'm a longtime vegan and yoga teacher. I grow a lot of my own food, so I have a lot of good things in place in terms of mind, body, spirit, wellness. So I lost one of my sisters to suicide 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
Sorry.
I
had two surviving sisters, and she wasn't vegan, and my siblings are not. And veganism doesn't guarantee happiness. In fact, sometimes we become more aware of suffering, I think. But I feel that it really does give me a real sense of life being deeply meaningful and purposeful and important. And what I'm dealing with, I think, is there's a lot of trauma that being vegan isn't really helping with that, to be honest. I think it is, actually, because I have a real solid core, but it's very traumatic. And I think that second level of veganism that you talk about, Will, of the first step is going vegan. The second step is the hard step, which is living it. And, trying to live it with kindness while having a lot of contact with family members who are not vegan, who were jabbed. And my sister who passed was very much getting help through the medical pharmaceutical avenue, which wasn't, didn't end up well. So I'm just, if there's any recommendations or comments, I just wanted to kind of share because I feel like you guys are part of my extended family too. So thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Susan. If anyone wants to offer any insights or Susan, I'll just say briefly, this is a hard time for a lot of people, for more than ever, I think. It's a very, very difficult time. There's, in a sense, there's a war going on against human beings. I've been saying this for the last 2 years, of kind of turning human beings into livestock. So it's more important than ever to have a strong spiritual foundation and a strong foundation of intuition to be able to discern truth from falsehood, because we are being actively deceived on such a massive scale, and so many people are being deceived, unfortunately, that they're succumbing either, like you say, by suicide or just by dying or giving up becoming alcoholic or drug addicted. I mean, there's really, it's a very difficult time. So it's, I think, more important than ever that we have compassion for other human beings, not take anything personally. They strike out. I mean, I've had it happening even, to myself. I mean, like the vegan community, won't let me quite mainly in California, I guess, just won't let me speak anywhere because they say I'm dangerous. I'm spreading medical misinformation, mm-hmm. And, I've spoken for years, like at the San Francisco Vegetarian, Veg Fest and the Sonoma Veg Fest. And both of those have said, no, you're spreading misinformation. We're not going to give a platform to anyone who spreads misinformation. And, I couldn't not speak, I couldn't like not warn people about the devastating impact that this pharmaceutical complex is having. So if I was prone to it, I would get depressed about it or something, but I take it like, great. If people start telling you that you can't speak, that's probably good, because that means, I'm saying something that people don't like, so that's probably a good thing. I think there's some kind of old saying that, if everybody agrees with what you're saying, you probably better look at what you're saying, because it's probably not very good. So I think we're here to kind of, rattle cages and stir up the pot. I mean, we have to do that. We have to be willing to do that not try to please everybody all the time.
Right.
But on the other hand, to be compassionate, like with your family, especially with family, they don't have the same background. I mean, similar, but not the same. So, you just don't take it personally. I think that's really the thing when it can get nasty, these things, because, they think that you're harmful or you're irresponsible or who knows what, So, really, it's a very challenging time, I would say, and it's probably going to continue in this direction, but I think that's why it's so important for us to have a strong connection with our spiritual practice, to make sure you take time. Like, we always take 2.5 hours every morning to just in meditation to connect with the silence and the inner dimension of the being that we are. Yeah. And when we go out in the world, everything is getting thrown at us all the time, especially from the computer. Other people. So it's really good to get connected with Kathy Christian's thing. I think that's really good. And some other good ones, too. Find your source of information. And we love having you with us, Susan. You're here twice a month. And you know, it's wonderful to know that there are those of us on the same path that have the same values and that we're on the path of healing and awakening, even though it seems like a lot of people don't see it. And the irony is, I'll just say this last thing, is that those of us who are promoting compassion for animals, very often we find other people who are into veganism don't like the fact that we also promote freedom for human beings, that we can make our own medical decisions. Then we find all these wonderful people who are in favor of human freedom, but they are totally opposed to freedom for animals. They love eating them, and you know, and so it's like here we are in this strange situation where, you know, we're kind of becoming a certain niche, and just do the best we can to let this niche grow. You know, it's about freedom for all beings, and realizing that as long as we enslave animals, we're going to be enslaved, and there's no point in brushing over that. We really have to understand this and understand what these industries are up to and the big bankers in the background, and you know, get savvy, you know, get really savvy and get street smart and question the tendency with deceptive narratives is to make them look very appealing and appeal to our comfort, appeal to our yearning to be accepted, appeal to our yearning to be safe and secure, you know, appeal to these lower appeal to the lower emotional states. And when people are weaker, they just go there, unfortunately. They just get sucked right in. So that's why we have to do our work to stay at a high level of vibration so we don't get sucked down to that level and say, oh yeah, I just want to fit in. I just want to be safe. Just be comfortable. Yeah, I'll just do whatever they say. We have to really stay clear and strong and love everybody. Love ourselves. You know, understand it's not personal. These are things that have been building up and going on in subconsciously and under the sort of in the darkness of our society for a long time. There's been pedophilia rings for a long time, for example. Mm-hmm. And whenever you sexually abuse baby animals, you're going to do it to people. And all this stuff has been hidden away. It's coming into the light. And these are very wounded people that are would like to wound others, you know. And so don't let yourself be fooled by any of this stuff. I love that song by The Who. We won't get fooled again. Let ourselves get fooled again. But anyway, so we're with you in spirit. Lisa, did you want to say something also in response to Susan?
Yeah, I do. Susan, I do somehow. You first of all, my condolence. I feel you just reminded me how. This struggle in me when knowing that my mom and my sister are both vaccinated and I could do anything to stop them. And just knowing what I know as a practitioner, there's the imminent, the dying ending of their lives, you know, at some point, and it's really, really, it's such hard to describe that the sadness, and you cannot express it, and you just, you know, seeing your loved ones just choosing their life, and that's their choice, and that's why I appreciate coming to meetings like this where Dr. Peto reminds us that it's comforting to know we are eternal beings and we don't die, you know, even our loved ones, that applies to them too. And so it gives me comfort at least to know that whatever it is, it's probably their karma, their path. And I maybe even, you know, I didn't know so much spiritual perspective until, because my fiance passing lately, I come to aware that if it's a comma, or if it's that soul's, that person's soul's planned it for them to exit this life, you know, either with vaccine or some other event, it is their soul's journey, and we cannot stop it. In if we stop it, maybe we are we're intruding an important lesson their soul wants to learn, and so there's a good reason. I use that to comfort myself that whatever it is for the good, for our soul's journey and evolution. And yes, even though it's painful, but knowing that we're eternal beings and we will see our loved ones again at some point. So I hope that gives you some comfort, Susan.
Thanks, Lisa, and thanks, Susan. Well, we're unfortunately running to right to the time here where it's time to kind of wrap things up. And I really want to, again, thank all of you for joining us on our third Thursday call here. And also, just to mention that we are putting together a lecture tour here in Northern California and Southern Oregon. So we'll be speaking, I think, in just a few days. Madeline's birthday is on the 22nd of September. And then right after that, on the 23rd, we're heading down to San Jose and be speaking on the 24th for a group. It's the Bliss and Wisdom group. We met them in Taiwan. They're just a wonderful Buddhist group that's really promoting veganism. And so they've asked me to come down and speak at this business meeting they're having with a lot of non-vegans. So it's a good chance to spread the vegan message there. And I'm working with Lisa to speak also at her RV resort. Lisa is now living full-time in an RV like we did. And she's staying in Thousand Trails. We've stayed in that campground ourselves, you know, years ago. So we're going to go and give a lecture there in the clubhouse on the 24th in the evening in San Jose. And then we're doing a lecture tour. Oh, go ahead.
I want to put the link to the flyer for
the
talk.
Yeah, put it in the chat.
So if anybody of you have families, friends in the area, it's a live event. We don't have streaming yet, and I can't get it set up yet. But if you want to invite your friends, have them contact me directly. I'll invite them in, even though they're not members of the RV community.
Right.
It'll be a great talk, I'm sure.
Great, thanks. And
thank
then that
you.
Goes also, if you know anybody in Northern California, we're going to be giving a World Peace Diet kind of a half-day workshop in Sacramento on Sunday the 9th. Jennifer DeGuzman, who's on the call, she's helping to organize that. And then the next 7 days, I guess, we'll be doing lectures in, we're just setting things up right now, but it'll be in Grass Valley, California on Monday, and we're doing something in Redding, we're working on that, and in Mount Shasta, and in Medford, in Ashland, and in Bend, possibly in Roseburg, and possibly in Weaverville, California. So we've got a little mini tour, October 9th to the 15th, and if you know anybody in Northern California or Southern Oregon, and then in November we're going to be heading to Florida for a 4-month lecture tour, and we will be going to Hippocrates again. We just talked to Brian Clement about that. So we'll be there for 2 months in December, January and February mainly. So also, just wanted to remind everybody that Chrissy Benson, her new novel will be coming out next month, and it's a vegan. She sent a copy, so I've read it. It's interesting. It's a novel about a young woman's adventures and in getting married. It's kind of a romantic novel, but it's got some good vegan teaching. So it's a good way to get the vegan message out when people don't expect it. You know, just reading a novel.
Thank you, Will. Yeah, it comes out November 23rd.
November 23rd.
It's available for pre-order. I'll put
already you can pre-order it right now. Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm really hoping to help normalize veganism. you know, through.
Right.
Because it's a fun read, you know. Veganism isn't the focus of the book. It's a good story, but there's several.
No, it's just here and there. You just weave it in here and there.
Yeah.
But the main character is a woman who's, I think, is very likable, and so it's good. I think it's great. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate your reading it.
So, all right. Well, I think it's about time. Madeline, do you want to join us? We like to say, if there's any last minute thing, we have our first Thursday in October coming up. That'll be our next meditation gathering. And let's say our prayer, the prayer circle for animals that Madeline and I and Judy Carmen are so grateful to be able to have. And we say, you know the prayer, I won't say it. So let's say it together. Feel free to unmute your computers or your phones, whatever they are. We can all make a compassionate cacophony together. All right, here we go.
Compassion circles the earth, all beings, everywhere.
One more time. Compassion circles the earth, all beings, everywhere. All right, we love you. Thanks, everyone. Go forth and shine, and we'll see.
Oh, Kitty!
Thank you, Kathy. That was really interesting. Thanks.